If you're like me and you're not so great at planning ahead, you have to try Hotel Tonight. Hotel Tonight is an app that helps you find amazing hotel deals at the last minute, up to 7 days in advance. It's perfect for a spontaneous getaway or indulging in a little staycation. All it takes is 10 seconds, just 3 taps and a swipe. So what are you waiting for? Get in on these killer last minute deals and download the Hotel Tonight app today. Welcome to the Ringer NBA Show. I'm Chris Vernon, and joining me today for a free agency special is Taz Mellis. You can watch Taz on NBA TV's The Starters. You can follow him on Twitter at Taz Mellis. Taz!
Chris! So glad to be here. Things are happening in the NBA. It's a fun time of the season. It's better than the game, some people tell me.
I think it is. I had to call you because you got to give me that Raptor news, as you say. This was a big weekend for the Raptors. First things first, were you surprised the way it played out? PJ Tucker gone, Lowry and Ibaka back.
For sure. Lowry and Ibaka for only 3 years. I think that's the miraculous part. I was comfortable saying, hey, let's just sign these guys, figure it out over the next couple years. This is a Raptors franchise that hasn't had much success, Chris. It's like Clippers East in a way. We've had this nice little window here of some goodness. So let's just keep it going. And it's okay to be slightly above mediocre. That's great for Raptors fans. I think they should be pumped about that. So let's roll it back. We're all worried about Lowry and whether or not they signed him for 5 years. So to get him at 3 years is a great compromise on both sides. And Ibaka, as much as there are those Ibaka birth truthers out there that should really find something else to do, at 27 years old, I'm totally comfortable giving him 3 years and to actually have a training camp with these guys. Because, you know, they only had a couple months. I'm totally pumped about that. The loss of PJ Tucker does definitely hurt. That stinks. But, you know, rolling back or bringing back the same bunch to do it one more time with the training camp. To me, the guys that we're talking about, Lowry and Ibaka, not the problem. The biggest issues to me are the Jonas Valanciunas and Damari Carroll contracts. Those are the ones that are sort of hamper the Raps into actually, you know, getting even closer to that Cavs team.
Do you think that this happens if all these players don't end up going to the Western Conference, and then it was just teed off with Millsap another one last night? So, A, if a bunch of guys don't go to the Western Conference, and B, if that whole David Griffin thing doesn't implode and then people really start speculating how long LeBron may be there?
That's a fair question. And the fact that all those guys signed in the Western Conference didn't give really Kyle Lowry any other option other than the Raptors. I mean, where else could he have signed for anywhere close to that amount of money? So I think that, you know, as much as, you know, the Players Tribune article about, you know, playing home was very sentimental and very nice. Also, he's making $33 million per, and he wasn't getting that anywhere else. So that's a huge part of it. And yeah, I think, you know, that's why, you know, as we record this, Gordon Hayward hasn't been signed. I think he's got to think about going east because of, you mentioned, you know, there's three All-Stars from the East going west, you know, 25% of the All-Stars. Or in the Western Conference. You know, I don't really think it's so much the Cavs and LeBron possibly leaving. I don't think guys think that far ahead. I don't think there's any need to think that far ahead. And that's why, you know, I think Masai signs these guys for 3 years and says, we can trade them, you know, especially a three-year contract. It's tradable. You just saw Victor Oladipo and his four-year, $84 million contract get traded. Anyone is tradable, especially with a three-year deal. And Masai has shown, you know, in Denver, he signed the Flalo for long term. He signed Nene for long term and traded them that first year. So it's if things don't go well, trade. And if LeBron does move, I mean, you're basically the number one team in the East. So they got stronger in a conference where the Bulls, Hawks, Pacers, all three playoff teams got a lot weaker.
And you got to wonder, you brought up the Hayward stuff. If Boston doesn't get him, this is a disaster for them, right? I mean, I suppose there's always the big trade could be coming, and maybe Danny Ainge will shock all of us. But as of right now, given what the return that you saw, you know, Butler get, the return that you saw Paul George get, everybody now is focused on Danny Ainge and the Celtics and sitting on those assets, and that those guys, like, it wonders how you couldn't beat those deals. And so now if you don't sign Hayward in free agency, this is headed for maybe an offseason that people are really, really out on.
Danny Ainge is comfortable, though, Chris. He's comfortable sitting on all those assets. It's like LeBron sitting on the throne on the sideline. That's a big, cushy chair for Danny Ainge. I don't think he really cares. You know, the fact that, you know, we just said it, you know, all the stars are going west. Even if Gordon Hayward does stay out west, you know, the Celtics are, you know, fighting for the second best team in the Eastern Conference. It does seem a little silly to sit on those assets forever, but there's so many of them. I mean, there's so many assets. You know, he has the Nets pick, number one pick next year. It could be the Lakers or the Sixers, number one pick the next couple of years. He's got a bunch of young assets. So maybe the window for LeBron, and as you mentioned, may go west. If LeBron starts to get older, when he does these next few years, I think, you know, the Celtics are biding their time. I mean, it did feel crazy that he didn't go and get Paul George. But that just shows the market, though. The market was Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. Like, I guess that's all it was. So he wasn't, he didn't have, I'm sure he didn't have an agreement that Paul George would stick around. And so he's just biding his time until LeBron either goes west or isn't LeBron James anymore. And they have a really capable roster of young guys going forward. And, you know, as this window closes for even the Raps, the best teams look to be in the future, look to be the Celtics and the Wizards in the Eastern Conference.
What's the percentage chance that Pacers deal does not look as bad as it does on the surface? Like that Oladipo becomes, Oladipo or Sabonis becomes a much better player than I think people give them credit for possibly being able to be, right? If that makes sense. You know, that one of those two guys becomes way better than they're giving credit for while the trade's taking place. What do you think?
I think what's more likely to make the deal look good from the Pacers side is if Paul George leaves for nothing in a year. Because then you gave up two players. Everybody in the NBA sphere is down on those two guys. Extremely down. It's kind of mind-boggling. You know, the Thunder organization that everyone praises also just drafted Domantas Sabonis and also just signed Victor Oladipo to 4 for $84. So they saw something. How great can they be? It's a fair question. Sabonis doesn't play to his size at this point. It's only 1 year into his career. And Victor Oladipo has not really broken out the handles. He seems just more of like an athletic guy that can get you a lot of points. So which one breaks out, I don't know. But, I think there should be some optimism there. Oladipo is only a 4-year player, but from the other side, from the Thunder side, you know, if Paul George leaves, you gave up two guys for nothing. I mean, they traded, although everyone said they won that Bulls trade where they traded Campaign for Doug McDermott and Taj Gibson. Now Taj Gibson moves on to the Wolves. Now you have Doug McDermott to show for Campaign, who hasn't, you know, shown a lot in Chicago, but you gotta, you know, this is a long-term game here. And so you got to keep assets. So, I suppose the Thunder are comfortable saying, well, Victor Oladipo didn't do a lot for us this year. We signed a 4-year, $84 million deal. Let's have 1 year of Paul George, and now we don't have him on the books anymore. But, Sabonis, I think, from the Pacers side, had to be attached because he's a rook. I mean, he's only played 1 year, and a lot of people wanted him on their team when it was draft day. A lot of people looked at him and liked his skill set. He is the perfect modern day big man. So he just has to play to his size and get better. So, he seems like the guy that can have a real, real long career if he plays to his potential.
All right. So we saw Jimmy Butler get traded. We saw Paul George get traded. But when all this free agency stuff happened, started, the big shoe that was going to drop is Gordon Hayward. And it has not happened yet. Before we go on, I'll get you our Captain Morgan's moment of the week. And it was this weekend, Emoji Wars. We had Rudy Gobert. We had Isaiah Thomas. We had Hassan Whiteside all getting involved, tweeting emojis, talking about championships. Obviously, all recruiting the player. Gobert wants him back. Isaiah wants him in Boston. You got Whiteside that wants him in Miami. I love the emoji wars. That being said, I did wonder about the Joe Ingles deal that happened over the weekend. Because people have told me that that's like his best buddy on the team, which is interesting because when I was watching NBA TV last night, one of the things they said about Lowry was that him and DeMar DeRozan are like really close. Like they're friends, friends. And you do wonder, like that is, I wonder if that's going to play a part in this. They say that George Hill was his, you know, really close to him too, but it seems like that could be, you know, that's pretty persuasive when, if you're really friends with somebody and they're asking you to come back, right? So now I wonder, and what'd you think about the Joe Ingles deal?
Yeah, I wonder how much the friends thing plays out, because a lot of these guys say, hey, you know, I'll find somewhere else, but, you know, maybe we'll play in a few years. You know, maybe we'll jump on the banana boat together in a few years. You know, let's guys are great friends on opposite teams too. You know, I think Lowry's like, yeah, 33 mil. That's a heck of a lot of Canadian dollars. That can buy me a lot of Canadian real estate. So Ingles had to sign for lots of bucks for his, you know, first big contract in the NBA, and he deserves it. He's a perfect glue guy that can do so many things on the floor. And that's a guy like that, you know, the Clippers cut a few years ago. Now the Clippers are looking at Danilo Gallinari sort of in that role. That would be perfect for Joe Ingles. So I think that does play a little bit, but I never buy into that too much, Chris, because Gordon Hayward's going to do what's best for him first and foremost. And, you know, just because Joe Ingles was around for a couple of years, I don't think it's, I think he loves Utah. I think that's the biggest thing. He has got incredible ties to the city. He is the sort of the number one guy there, but does he want to win more? Does he, because I think Boston offers him that sort of direct line to the championship a heck of a lot more than his team that just got swept and is going through a lot of changes. Or does he want to shoot more? Because if he goes to Eric Spoelstra in the Heat, he's probably going to shoot more than 15.8 times a game like he did in Utah. So those are the two sort of things I think he's weighing. And, you know, he's established roots. Maybe him and his wife, Robin, want to hang out in Utah. I don't know if it's because they have Joe Ingles for dinner all the time, but I think it's because he probably likes the, you know, the idea of being a sort of a one team guy for a lot of his career.
Declare a victor of Emoji Wars. Gobert, Thomas, Hassan Whiteside. Who do you think won the Gordon Hayward free agency emoji war?
Hassan Whiteside, there's too many emojis. It was you have to put in numbers. And you know, that's, if you have to spell it out, if you have to number it out, you don't win. I go with the Isaiah Thomas. I thought it was to the point, and it was well done and well executed. And I have to give a shout out to the NBA on TNT Twitter account. Also threw in a four barbecue chickens. That's Shaq winning four championships. Two championships for the Jet, and then a Krispy Kreme donut for Charles Barkley. So that was a good little add-on.
All right, that was the Captain Morgan's moment of the week. No matter how you live like a captain, Captain Morgan reminds you to please drink responsibly. Captain's orders. All right, let's move on to what some of these other teams have reportedly done in free agency so far. Timberwolves moved Ricky Rubio to the aforementioned Utah Jazz. By the way, do you like the Rubio fit if Hayward comes back there? Let's start with that.
I do like it. Yeah, I think Rubio, his best days are still in front of him. You know, he's still 27 at the oldest. He could be 26. I could be incorrect there. And a fresh start for him would be fantastic. You know, George Hill got a lot of corner threes. I think Ricky Rubio is capable of shooting those corner threes. I'm not going to say that he can't shoot ever. You know, I still think there is a bit of potential there. So, yeah, I think I think he can make it work in a George Hill type role. Good defender, hit enough shots. So I kind of wanted to see him with Tibbs and this version of the Wolves continue. The Jeff Teague signing seems a little bit like a lateral move to me, but
Would you rather have? If I just said, because obviously they moved Rubio to Utah, they signed Teague to a reported or are going to a three-year $57 million deal. Just on the face, would you rather have Jeff Teague or Ricky Rubio?
With the Wolves, I guess I'd rather have Jeff Teague. It's a wishy-washy one. You need a guy who can shoot, and Jeff. Yeah, I don't feel that strong. Jeff Teague, because I've loved Jeff Teague in the past, and watching him with the here in Atlanta where I live was so fun in the 2015 season when they won 60 games. He was a key part to just continuously keep moving that ball, and that'll work well in Minnesota. And he's part of a good defense. Everybody says Ruby's a great defender, and that's a drop off to Teague, and that's true. But Teague can do a lot of things. But it just seems like he didn't have a great year last year with the Pacers, although the numbers are fine, and he shot the ball a little bit from 3-point land. Just over 1 3 a game. So there is a bit more of a threat than Rubio, so that bodes well for this Wolves offense. It's a little bit perplexing to me why they go get Taj Gibson, ridiculously tough guy, but a mid-range shooter. So guys are going to be able to just jump down on Karl Anthony Towns, their best player in the post, because Taj Gibson isn't giving them a lot of room. Jeff Teague gives them a little bit more room than Ricky Rubio. So I suppose in that fit, with the way they've built a roster, I'd take Teague, but Rubio still has. Although he's been in the league forever, I think a new situation for him, where he's not told he's being traded year after year. It didn't start well with injuries in his career. So new start. I got a little bit more hope for Rubio, but I guess the same could be said for Teague. He needs a new start as well.
Well, the interesting thing, right, is I think we all wonder amidst all of it, I am most fascinating what happens with Wiggins over the course of the next couple of years, right? Because Towns has got to get the touches and the shots, and Butler's getting touches and shots. Teague's not he's not your typical just, get everybody, run the offense kind of set up old school point guard. I mean, he's a guy, he's got offense too. He's going to take shots. And so, how does Wiggins fall in all of it? I really don't know. It'll be fascinating to see. And it feels like Rubio darting that ball around everywhere might have been better for Wiggins in the situation, right?
Rubio would have taken less shots than Teague. That's totally true. Great ball mover. I mean, Teague is a good ball mover as well. Like when they won 60 games, Korver got his shots, Horford and Millsap got their shots. So I think that's what they're trying to sort of replicate. He's only 29, so he's not an oldie. That system will fit him well. But Rubio is definitely a bit of a better passer. I guess they wanted a little bit better shooting, which makes sense. You kind of have to respect Teague, but he's not. He doesn't want to take that shot all that time either. You can go under sometimes. That's the worrisome part is, that Wolves team is going to be fun to watch because they're going to get dirty and scrappy, with Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson. That'll be fun. But the other side is, is there going to be enough space for these dudes? And then how is Wiggins, going to play out as the number three guy now? Is that good for him to have a little bit less spotlight and just be sort of a slasher? Or is there going to be no room on the floor for him to slash?
All right, so let's get to the Warriors. Usually when you win big, there's the necessary evil is that you don't get to keep it all together. But we come out of the weekend, and the reports are Livingston's going to be back. Iguodala's going to be back. David West is going to be back. Are you surprised they're able to run this all back?
No. It's crazy. It's crazy. I'm not because,
How did they not lose anybody?
When you have a guy like Durant come, Yeah, they just bring, give them everybody. Give them whoever they want. Just give them a draft. Just tell them, here are the 450 players in the NBA. Pick the 15, and then, you know, I mean, that seems like what they're sort of doing. And I'm not not bashing them by any means, because they did it for, you know, under the rules, and they're going to be good. And I don't think they're done. I think they're going to get a good center now, because they're still looking for a center, you know, as instead of Zaza Pachulia starting, which was, you know, obviously the weakest part of their starting five. They're going to get somebody who fits in pretty well, I bet. I know that this guy doesn't have a big name, but Dwayne Dedmon from the Spurs started some games for them. It would be perfect as sort of a tough guy like Pachulia, but has some softer hands at times, and can block shots unlike Pachulia. So, man, I don't know, Chris. I mean, it's what kind of hope do you have? Other than, like, I love what the Rockets did. I think they've elevated themselves into the number two spot, and there's talk about Melo there. The lineups that they can throw out there with PJ Tucker, as you mentioned, and Chris Paul, and Harden, obviously. They can play D, they can play O, they can score a bunch. That is the team to me in the West that that's the number one challenger for that Warriors team that's like an all-star team.
Dude, if Carmelo ends up in the Western Conference too, come on. I mean, come on. why is there even an Eastern Conference? It's outrageous. I mean, come on. Like, and they would run out, I suppose, what you'd do is you'd run out Chris Paul. Like, you want to talk about positionless basketball, you'd run out Chris Paul, P.J. Tucker. Well, hell, they got Trevor Ariza, too, and you'd have Paul George and Melo, and then surely they'd have to give up Capella in a deal. Like, come on, you can't get to keep him too, right? I don't even know how they end up. I'm done thinking about how Daryl Morey can pull it off. He probably can, but good grief, if Carmelo ends up in the Western Conference, this is going to be the most bizarre offseason where just everybody ends up in the West.
Yeah, it's like Mike D'Antoni. I mean, you said like they traded 18 players for Chris Paul. They'd have to trade a billion more for Carmelo Anthony to match that monstrous salary. Like, Mike D'Antoni's going to have five guys on his roster, and Chris Paul and Harden and Melo and Trevor Ariza and whoever, Brian Anderson is the fifth, and just run five guys out there every night. They're losing guys, but I don't know how they'd pull it off. You're right. They have an $11 million trade exception, so I think, I don't know how it all works. I guess it would have to be a three.
Am I misremembering this, or didn't D'Antoni go on like a podcast with Woj earlier this year and pretty much blame Carmelo for New York, right? Like when it was...
Well, yeah, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, he's apparently Melo said, it's either me or Mike D'Antoni. And Mike said, all right, I heard that. I'm out. I've had enough. But they apparently, and if you want to believe what Lala says, Carmelo's loved one, she says they want to make up, Chris. She says that MD and Melo want to be buds again. So who the heck knows? I guess Melo wants to go somewhere to win. And you said the Eastern Conference obviously get a heck of a lot weaker, but would the Knicks lose more games? Probably not. And there'd be far less drama there. Melo needs, it would be so fun for us as basketball fans to see Melo in that Olympics role, right? Be that like third guy. He would be ridiculously good wherever he goes. But to go to the West, yeah, it would be to lose another 20-point scorer. Dennis Schroeder is going to be an all-star, man. There's going to be so many guys that are sort of borderline, I don't even know what you call it, that are just going to, they're going to get their first all-star appearance next year because, yeah, three of them went East and Melo going, if Melo goes. It'd be strange to see him in New York next year. Let's put
If you're Cleveland, would you give up Love to get him?
Just a straight up Love, sub in Melo for Love on that team. Maybe you would. I think Love doesn't look all that healthy at times. You know, throughout the year, like, he's banged up. He seems to me to be one of those guys that's not going to be going to have an extremely long career. Because of injuries, I have nothing to go on, but just watching him, he's banged up every single postseason. So I think maybe that comes into play when you think about it. Because basically what you do though is if you're playing the Cavs, you're going to go on Melo every possession. You're going to find a way to go at him every possession? And does he want to play the four spot? Because he's not been happy about that in the past, and he'd have to do that. But if you're the Cavs, you think about that. You definitely think about...
Well, let's be honest. We could throw away the whatever the hell our opinions are of those two guys. You just go to LeBron and be like, all right, does this help? Right? What do you think? Mm-hmm. Because if LeBron wants... Like, in the end, if they run it back with the same guys that get beat, you got a good chance of losing him. Whereas if you try something different and it got his blessing, right? You're bringing in his buddy, Carmelo, then maybe you got a better chance of keeping him, right, going forward.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can that really happen? A decision number two? I guess it could happen. You're right. I think LeBron said during the postseason, he said Brad Stevens was playing him in the Eastern Conference Final. Brad Stevens said the Cavs roster is basically perfect. And I don't know how to beat them. And LeBron said, we're not perfect. We have to fly around on defense to help each other out a lot because they don't have great perimeter defenders a lot of time. And they don't have a great five-man behind them to block shots. And that's why they tried Andrew Bogut. They tried Larry Sanders. So I think those are the two things that LeBron wants and would make LeBron happy. Some guys that just want to get gritty and play D. That is not part of Melo's DNA. but Love lacks that a little bit too. He plays hard, but he doesn't really alter shots at the rim. So, yeah, you're right. Would that make him happy? Sure. But I think he wouldn't want to be done after that.
All right, Taz, we'll get right back into more signings. But first, a word from our sponsors. Guys, you may think that all underwear is the same, quality doesn't matter, but it does. Don't put up with a pair that rides up, chafes, that you'll throw away in a few months. Make the switch to the best, Saks underwear. These have it all. Comfortable fabrics, great supportive design with their ballpark pouch. It cups your package like a catcher's mitt. These will put your old pairs to shame. I love my Saks underwear. In fact, I'm wearing them right now. It's what I wear every single day now. Outside Magazine just had an article about Saks and how they've revolutionized underwear the same way that Gore-Tex revolutionized jackets. It's true. Saks has taken something we all need, and they've made it better. Total comfort with moisture-wickening benefits, great support while moving around freely, and most importantly, no chafing. And they're made to last. I want you to try Saks underwear with my special limited time deal. Go to my URL, saksunderwear.com/NBA. You'll get 20% off your first purchase. Pick up a few pairs. Go to Saks, S-A-X-X, underwear.com/NBA. That's Saks with two X's. For 20% off your first purchase, go to saksunderwear.com/NBA. J.J. Redick and Amir Johnson to the Sixers. They were loaded up with young guys. Maybe the best tweet of the weekend was J.J. Redick with the trust the process, letting everybody know that he was going to be signing with the Sixers. 1 year, $23 million, which so he got paid. And then they bring in Amir Johnson, which is clearly another a veteran presence, right? Colangelo clearly wanting to address the fact that they don't have a bunch of vets on the team, especially with all those young guys. Do you like it seemed like they got a lot of praise for this. You know, guys that are super professional, guys that are hard workers, guys that the young guys can look up to. What say you on Redick and Amir Johnson being the guys that you add as veterans for the Sixers?
I don't need a long-winded explanation here. You just said it all. I think they're perfect for that. I think they fit. The nice glue guys come in every day. Bring their lunch pails. Brian Colangelo had Amir Johnson in Toronto. And even though Amir Johnson couldn't start for the Boston Celtics in the playoffs at times because he doesn't have a ton of offensive skill and is a little bit undersized, he'll rub off on the big guys. And J.J. Redick's work ethic will do exactly the same. He's got an infamous work ethic where he won't stop trying to get better, and that's how he stayed in the league this long and played so well. And it's a funny thing with like salary cap that they can give these sort of inflated contracts to a couple guys because they're way below the salary cap floor, and they just say, hey, we don't want you to go to another team. We want you to rub off over here, so we'll pay you $23 million, J.J. Redick. I'm sure that was far and away more than what other teams were offering him, and it's free money because they have to pay somebody that salary cap floor money, whether it's their guys or whoever. So, yeah, they fit in perfectly. Just we got stars. I mean, they're starting six, I guess, you know, with Fultz, Embiid, and Simmons to go along with those two oldies, plus Dario Saric off the bench. You know, starting to look a little decent.
Especially in the East, Taz. It's going to be harder to not make the playoffs in the East. Like, who is good? Once we get – all right, so Cleveland's going to be good. Toronto's going to be good. Boston's going to be good. Am I done? Is the list – like, in terms
Washington.
Of – Oh, Washington, for sure. Okay. Is that –
Yeah, those four. You're right, though. Just
is that
four teams.
Where we are confidently they are going to be good.
You're right. The Sixers should try and lose and see if they can miss the playoffs. It's probably harder for them to miss the postseason in the East with all that talent. I just want to see them stay healthy.
Oh, you know what? The Bucks will be pretty good.
Oh, the Bucks.
The Heat will be pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
The Hornets have Dwight Howard now.
What does that mean? Not much.
I was just saying they have Dwight Howard now. I didn't. I wasn't making any extra comment. I was just saying that. Everybody can just make up their own mind on that, whatever that means. I'm just going to leave the sentence there. The Hornets have Dwight Howard. Then you can decide. Yeah, you know what? If anybody can make him worth a shit, it's going to be Clifford. I do believe that. I do believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do believe that.
All right. I was shocked that we talked about the Paul deal earlier with him going to the Rockets. I was pretty shocked that Blake Griffin got the max, the full on 5 years. I mean, damn, he's had 500 million injuries. And the T-shirt that they wore, how on earth did they let that become public? First of all, how do you wear the T-shirt with, like, Nelson Mandela and who else was on it? Was it, like, Martin Luther King and
Muhammad Ali and Gandhi and, yeah.
Is that how you have have you typically viewed Blake Griffin as the same level of pioneer as so many of those that were immortalized on the T-shirt with him?
Yeah, totally. That's exactly who he is.
What is he a pioneer of?
Well, making the Clippers relevant, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But no, that's actually how, you know, our show came from Canada, down to NBA TV in Atlanta. And that's how they recruited us. Actually, all the NBA TV execs, in the meeting, they showed up wearing, except they were just Canadian legends on the shirts, like Wayne Gretzky, and
John Candy,
John Candy. Yeah.
Alanis Morissette.
Oh yeah. The Jagged Little Pill. What an album. What an album.
So who else would be who else was on the Canadian shirt? Did you say Trebek? Trebek, right? He's got to be on there.
Terry Fox, legend Terry Fox, Justin Bieber.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
Then they just had the starters with the other famous Canadians.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we had a little spot. Our four faces. Oh, actually, it could have been like a Mount Rushmore shirt, like our four faces.
Like, if you're Blake Griffin, you are not flattered by that, right? Like, if you're Blake Griffin, you're...
I think it was a joke. I think it was a sincere, Blake Griffin has a sense of humor. You know, he's done stand up. He's a funny guy. I think he would look at it and say, ha, that's funny. He knows his play. He doesn't really think he's anywhere close to having that social, gravitas that any of those dudes have. I highly doubt it.
If I was on a shirt, if they made a shirt like that with me on it, I would wear it every day. If like my face is on, like with all these like great leaders in history or something.
Yeah, I guess what you're right. I mean, I didn't expect 5 years for Blake at this point either. But I guess it's like we were talking about the Raptors earlier. They want to show that they take care of their own in Los Angeles. You know, they just don't want to be a laughing stock anymore, and they want to legitimize their franchise. And I guess that's what it is. They just want to be, you know, a team like you know, the Pacer or the Mavs that continued to pay Dirk or whoever, you know, they just want to give sort of a legacy contract, even though he's a young buck still, just to show the rest of the league that, you know, we're not a joke anymore, and we're a legitimate team.
Bob. And everybody knows that when Blake Griffin is healthy, he is a fantastic player. It's just like all the time you're hearing people compare it to Amari Stoudemire and say that's what this is. This is Amari all over again, and it'd probably be good for a couple years, but you are going to rue the day those last couple years of that contract when he is getting paid, you know, upwards of $40-something million, which I could see that being true.
It's possible. The little difference is, to me, the knee injuries haven't been as prevalent with Blake. It's been either a toe injury this past year or, you know, throwing some fisticuffs in Toronto, which is, you know, with the equipment manager and with the Clippers. So some strange injuries, but we look around the NBA landscape, there's going to be guys that don't have long careers because of injuries. That's just the way it is. And maybe Blake's one of those guys. We know Derrick Rose is potentially one of those guys, you know, at this point, a Brandon Roy type dude. So, yeah, it could be, man. It could be.
All right, the big report last night, well, this is the last one we'll cover, is Millsap. 3 years, $90 million, so he got a massive contract too, reportedly. Will sign with the Denver Nuggets. Nuggets were right on the outside looking in. A, does this make them a solidified playoff team for the upcoming season in your mind? I'd imagine most people will have it that way. And B, thoughts on the fact that that is, you know, when you saw this being bandied about a lot last night, he was the last of the five starters from that 60-win Hawks team, which was just a couple of years ago, and it is. I think if you'd have taken a snapshot at the moment with that team won 60 games, and said none of these five guys will be wearing Hawks uniforms in 2 years' time, that would have been unfathomable. But here we are. So first things, and I know, listen, you have watched and paid much more attention being in Atlanta to Millsap than many have. First, him getting that deal with Denver, what it does for Denver, and then the whole 2015 Hawks being completely disbanded by now.
Millsap is great, perfect as like sort of secondary ball handler, a guy who can defend. He can do it all. Him and Jokic are going to be a nice little 4-5 combo. They're going to be one of those rare teams in the NBA that focus primarily on their bigs. You know, you got the Pelicans with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. You got the Nugs. So that'll be fun as just a basketball watcher to see that happen. He's perfect as a really good number two or three guy. That being said, I don't think they're a lock for the postseason. There's just too many stinking teams, Chris. That's the problem. I mean, who's going to fight it out? You've got a handful like Golden State, San Antonio, Houston, likely OKC or locks. You know, that's four. And then, you know, the Clippers are still good. The Pelicans are going to get better. The Wolves, obviously. So they're going to be fighting for it. They should be there. They should be good enough. It'll be fun to see all the young guys there. This is a team, I'm sure, even as a guy who lives basketball and myself, you know, that's one team that kind of flips under the radar the last couple of years and I don't watch enough of because, you know, maybe because they're in mountain time. They got a lot of guys. They got a ton of guys cross board, and they're going to be fun to watch. Jokic, Millsap, move the ball. Millsap is not a hog by any means and will work perfectly with Jokic.
They need Moody to be good. They need him to turn really good, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's happening.
I know, but I mean, they needed Jameer to save him last year.
Yeah, I know. I think they have hope in Jamal Murray. Shout out to Canada. The guy's an incredible sport. They got a lot of hope in Gary Harris. I know that's a name that I'm sure most hardcores no, but not everybody knows. He was rumored to be a piece that was going to go to Indiana for the Paul George deal, and people think he's a better player than Victor Oladipo. You should have got him, and he seems like he's got a better long-term trajectory, but you're right. They need a guard to step up in it. Whoever, it could be Jamal Murray, it could be Gary Harris, it's got to be one of those guys, because Mudiay, they've sort of given up on it, it feels like. I mean, that's a strong word, but they've put him on the back burner big time. As far as the Hawks go, it was a fun run. It was a really fun run. I do like the fact that they've given it up. They traded Dwight Howard, as you mentioned, to Charlotte. That was a one-year experiment, and they got a new GM in there in Travis Schlenk, and at least they have a direction now. They saw that the Budenholzer dual job wasn't working all that well, so they brought somebody in, and at least they're going downward. I definitely did watch a lot of their games the last couple of years, and Phillips was rocking, they're changing the arena there. They're going to have a stand-up bar right courtside. They're trying to make this a more fan-friendly environment, because even though they won 60 games that year, Chris, the arena was rocking for wins, but there's still a lot of games where the fans don't come out in droves. They don't really they don't fill the arena. They don't rock the house. It's just sort of Hawks basketball in the way it's been for a long time. So they decided, all right, let's break this down a little bit. Even if Dennis Schroeder can be an all-star next year in the Eastern Conference, we gotta rethink this thing. And it was time for that.
Oh, breaking news right here at the end of the podcast as we're wrapping up recording. Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN just reports Chauncey Billups withdraws his name from consideration for Cleveland's president of basketball ops job. So guess he's happy on TV, or I guess he thinks that LeBron ain't staying. God, if LeBron's not staying, that job stinks. You know what I mean? You don't want any part of that thing.
Yeah, that's the risky part of I think the worrisome part is that Dan Gilbert is a bit of a meddlesome owner. He's got a little Vivek in him.
Worry about, right? Like that's what that story tells me. Billups knows all those guys. He knows Maverick. He knows everybody, and he said, listen, I ain't taking this thing if y'all are going to be gone. Let me know. And clearly nobody gave him the, take it. We ain't going anywhere. Because if LeBron's there, you take the job. End of story. And he did his due diligence on that. So that's what would freak me out if I'm a Cavs fan.
Unless it was a lowball offer.
Nah.
I know it sounds crazy because it sounds like Chauncey Billups is a big name, but David Griffin was underpaid, below the average for years, even though he built a championship team there. He wanted more money. That's why he's gone. You're right, though. If LeBron wants to stay and why not take the offer? But you're buying the possibility of LeBron leaving. What do you think the chances are LeBron goes next year?
If they don't win the title, I think good.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know.
Why?
We can't underestimate.
Did you watch that thing they did in the barbershop? The thing with Draymond and Charles Oakley and Maverick Carter's there and everybody's there? All right, it's great. You should look it up on YouTube. It's like they did it for whatever his thing is. What is it, Uninterrupted or something? But I think they ran it on ESPN. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's this barbershop talk, and they're just talking about all manner of things. But there's this moment where LeBron talks about going back to Cleveland and basically how he did it in spite of, or I don't want to say in spite of, but basically his mom and his wife both said, screw that. And mom said, I'm staying in Miami. You can do whatever you want, right? And the wife, the people around him did not get over the Gilbert letter and the whole Benedict Arnold stuff and whatever else. And he was like, and I told him it's bigger than them. And it feels kind of like if those are if the people around you still hold a grudge, right? And then you have the whole Griffin thing that just took place, which clearly did not make him very happy. I don't know. There's something in the back of my mind goes, they're not, he can now, it felt like when he was tweeting that out, when Griffin was gone, if nobody else respects you, I do, whatever, that it's almost like, he can flip this around completely, that once upon a time they were burning his jerseys for leaving, and now if he goes, they'll end up hating Dan Gilbert for it. And so it's like the ultimate flip of the script. And I could see that happening.
Yeah, I'd say this about LeBron. He doesn't care about convention. He doesn't care about, people assuming, like I'm saying right now, like just because I've watched basketball for so long, the standard is he wouldn't jump to another team. He would just stay there. But he doesn't care. He marches to the beat of his own drummer.
Now the flip side of that is because of the way this last week's played out, it's like, why? Yeah. Like, just stay there. I mean, hell, he could play 50 games a year and be in the NBA Finals for the next 5 years.
Yeah, probably. And if he wants to do that, he will. He will. I think that's been shown. Like, if he, whatever you think is best for him and his situation, you're right. You're right, Chris. If he leaves, he's got to go to a good situation.
Yeah,
right? He's not going to go try it out with, I don't know, he's not going to go to Miami now. He's going to go to somewhere that he's either playing with his buds or there's a situation where he can win a championship. And you're right. I mean, he can moonwalk and stroll to the Eastern Conference Finals and to the finals. It sure seems like year after year. So why leave? Unless there's something else that he wants to achieve that we're sort of missing. Like, what is it? I don't know. Something that he wants to put on his on the belt, another notch, another something or other that he wants on that LeBron resume when it's all said and done. But you're like, why leave now? Unless he's pissed, unless he's really, really pissed at the organization. And he mentioned, the Gilbert letter that was on the website for 4 years or whatever it was. It's a weird thing to just not, now they don't have a GM. I mean, that's something strange there.
He is Taz Mellis. Watch him on NBA TV's The Starters. I know you just added a baby to the mix at home, so I'm deeply appreciative of you doing this today. Congratulations on the child.
Thanks a lot, man.
How exciting!
I'm a great poop cleaner. I'm like LeBron. I just clean up people's messes. That's what I do.
Go get some sleep. Thanks, Taz.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, brother, that's going to do it for another Ringer NBA show. If you dig what you're hearing, go give us a rating and review on iTunes, and we will talk to you next Tuesday. Podcast today brought to you by Hotel Tonight. Things change, the weather changes, your mood definitely changes. So why lock yourself into plans that might change? With Hotel Tonight, you don't have to, because you'll get incredible deals on awesome hotels, even at the last minute. Booking on Hotel Tonight gives you the freedom and flexibility to play things by ear while knowing you'll score a great price and a great place to stay. So download the Hotel Tonight app to find seriously amazing deals now.